Damien said to me before I started, good luck with this homily because of those readings. They're a bit of a challenge. So let's see if we can face the challenge this morning. Firstly, with Jeremiah, Jeremiah was always seen as a Christ figure. So for Christians, what Jeremiah went through very often mirrored, in some sense, what Christ himself went through. Jeremiah was a voice crying to the people, trying to bring them justice and peace. The leaders of the people rejected that in time. And so today we hear about him being lowered into the mud pit. And then he's pulled out by a Cushite. Cushite is the Hebrew word for an Ethiopian. So it was a foreigner who pulled out one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Fast forward to the gospel, and then we have Jesus saying, I'm not here to bring peace. Well, in Luke's gospel, it begins with the words that the Saviour is born to bring peace on earth to people of goodwill. And that's a really uncomfortable sort of statement then when we hear Jesus now as an adult saying, I'm not here to bring peace, I'm here to bring division. But let's remember that at the time of Luke's gospel, the leaders of the Jewish people and the Roman authorities had already begun exercising discord and angst, really painful angst and distress, among the early Christian community. And so what Jesus had said or prophesied was actually unfolding in front of their eyes. He said that if you follow me, it's not going to be, as you've heard me say before, a day on the beach. There will be division because in these days, not everybody will understand what it is that you have experienced and understand. And even as you as adults sit here this morning within your own families, there will be discord. There wouldn't be a family around, I wouldn't think, that you would say does not have some sort of disharmony in it. And he says, I'm here to bring fire on the earth. Jesus was not the one who invented the scorched earth policy. That was not his thing. The image that he's using in this metaphor, we can associate best with understanding the Mediterranean way of gathering a family together around a fire. Now, the Mediterranean oven is an earthen oven. It's made of mud and it's made of clay. And then placed in the bottom of the oven would be a salt brick. Something like a giant fire starter that some of you may have used. So the salt block would be put into the earthen oven and it would be ignited. And that would keep burning, throwing out heat and light. On top of that, they would put very tasty camel dung little briquette things. And they mix the camel dung with salt to make them into fire bricks. I hope they washed their hands afterwards, but that's what they did. So the fire that Jesus is talking about relates really to those that gather around, and it gives heat and it gives light. So it's not about an Australian bushfire destruction image. It's not like that at all. Although we all know that the bushfire is essential to generate life in the bush as it burns the undergrowth and allows the new stuff to come forward. So it's not completely lost on the Australian landscape. But Jesus is using fire and light to highlight, excuse the pun, that if you follow the words of the gospel, you will be enlightened, and we are to be light for the world. Now, if you choose to be light for the world, there will be plenty of opposition and there will be plenty of people wanting to snuff out that light. And we know what that's like as Christians in Australia. We particularly know what it's like as Catholic Christians in Australia. And at 9:30 on Wednesday morning, we'll know once again what it's like to be a Catholic Christian in Australia as the Appellate Court in Victoria televises its verdict on Cardinal George Pell's appeal to the world. So I suspect that Wednesday evening will be full of a bombardment once again. that many of us have heard before. It's an opportunity for some to snuff out the light that we vigorously try to keep stoked and alive in our part of Australia and in our own lives. And for some of you as family, grandparents and parents, even within your own children, keeping that flame of faith alive. So it's a real challenge. And Jesus suffered as Jeremiah suffered, and ultimately it cost Jesus his earthly life. We know that. The problem is, I think, for some people that Jesus challenged the system. And anybody that challenges the system is really setting themselves up for a target, it seems to me. Jesus was not the first, neither was Jeremiah. And Jesus was not and will not be the last. I think of the words of now Saint Dom Helder Camara from Brazil, who was the Archbishop, and he was killed saying Mass by government opposition. And before he died, one of his famous phrases was, "I give the poor bread and they call me a saint. I ask the government, why have they got no bread, and they call me a communist." So for those who are in the public forum particularly, and those who are in a position of trying to make a difference, that enmity that is there can be quite constant. And so we need to be well armed, both in faith and in companionship, I think, in order to combat or battle, not in a warlike sense, but in a justice sense, so that we end up attaining the peace that Luke begins his gospel with and ultimately that Jesus is trying to bring. Now, don't think biblical peace is like the peace that most people in the Western world think of, which is the absence of war, the absence of noise, the absence of discord. That's not the peace that is understood by biblical peace. Biblical peace, the word shalom, is probably best described in the Middle East even now, if you walked into a market scene, you'd hear children playing, there'd be lots of noise going on, you'd hear adults bargaining with each other for a special bargain, you'd probably hear some people in the background making fire starters out of camel poo and salt. But it's all the action that's going on. But there's a harmony there in all of this noise. It's not silence. It is a peace that involves all the personalities of the people involved. And that peace is only attained, as Jesus is saying, through justice. If there is no justice, there is no peace. Dom Helder Camara, or Saint Dom Helder Camara, also said that peace without justice is like moonlight on a swamp. So Jesus' starting point, which Dom Helder Camara really tried to live his life by, and I hope that we can try to live our life by, even in times where we feel as though we're persecuted, that the moonlight that is sometimes cast upon the swamp, we feel as though we're in the swamp sinking with Jeremiah, the mud and the mire down there. When in fact, if we keep, as the second reading says, we keep our focus on the gospel, the light and the warmth of the gospel, we can conquer all. Jesus was actually gentle. He got a little fiery temper at one stage, we know of, but he was actually gentle in what he was trying to put forward. It was challenging, but it was gentle. And people mistake gentleness for weakness, when in fact it's not. It is the tool of justice that is trying to bring a real peace to the world, an authentic peace to the world. And that responsibility now falls on us. Jesus has passed that on, and we took up that challenge when we were given that little candle at our baptism, that light of faith. And that's our responsibility now. So if this fire of the New Testament, the Good News, this fire is to burn in the world with harmony and disharmony at times, then we are the tenders of that fire. Each of us, all of you here this morning with me, we have the responsibility to keep the flame of that fire of faith alive in a world that sometimes wants to descend us into the swamp. Let's not go there. Let's be in this together as we bring the light of faith and hope through justice into a peaceful world.